Psalm 37 is a bit long, but we're going to read the whole psalm. This is the reading of God's word. Do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious toward wrongdoers. For they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desire of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your judgment as noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil doing. For evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. Yet a little while, and the wicked man will be no more. And you will look carefully for his place, and he will not be there. But the humble will inherit the land and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees his day is coming. The wicked have drawn the sword and bent their bow to cast down the afflicted and the needy, to slay those who are upright in conduct. Their sword will enter their own heart, and their bows will be broken. Better is the litter of the righteous than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord sustains the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their inheritance will be forever. They will not be ashamed in the time of evil. And in the days of famine, they will have abundance. But the wicked will perish. And the enemies of the Lord will be like the glory of the pastures. They vanish like smoke. They vanish away. The wicked borrows and does not pay back. But the righteous is gracious and gives. For those blessed by him will inherit the land. But those cursed by him will be cut off. The steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. When he falls, he will not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. I have been young, and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread. All day long he is gracious and lends, and his descendants are a blessing. Depart from evil and do good, so you will abide forever. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his godly ones. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked will be cut off. The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The law of his God is in his heart. His steps do not slip. The wicked spies upon the righteous and seeks to kill him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand or let him be condemned when he is judged. Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. I have seen a wicked, violent man spreading himself like a luxuriant tree in his native soil. Then he passed away, and lo, he was no more. I sought for him, but he could not be found. Mark the blameless man, and behold the upright. For the man of peace will have prosperity, but transgressors will be altogether destroyed. The prosperity of the wicked will be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in Him. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this precious time of hearing Your word. Grant us an ear to hear Your word. As we hear Your word, cause our faith to grow and we'll be more and more like Your Son, Jesus Christ. Let us see what Your Son has done and what He has accomplished for us through Your word. And let us have fellowship with Him through Your word. Oh Father, we pray that You will cause that Your word will be preached correctly and all of us will hear them and that we will understand them and believe them and obey them. We thank You and we love You. We pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The title tells us that it is a Psalm of David. And just like Psalm 34, it is an acrostic psalm. The Hebrew alphabet has 22 consonants. For every consonant, our psalm devotes two verses, though some have only one verse. Our psalm for today is simply too long for us to look at verse by verse, so what we're going to do is look at the big picture. In Psalm 1, we find two kinds of people in this world. One, the righteous, and the other, the wicked. It says that the righteous will be blessed and the wicked will be perished. But if we look at the things that are going on in this world, a question arises in our hearts. Is it really true that whatever the righteous does, he prospers? Is it really true that the way of the wicked perishes? It does not seem like it. Did God misspoken or misspoke? Or God really said those things, but he does not have power to bring what he said to fruition? Psalm 73 says the same thing. 73 verse 12. Behold, these are the wicked and always at ease. They have increased in wealth. The author of Psalm 73 says that he almost sinned because of this. 73 verse 3 to 6. For I was envious of the arrogant as I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pain in their death, and their body is fat. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like mankind. Therefore pride is their necklace, the garment of violence covers them. I mean, when you look what's going on out there, when you look at non-Christians, how they are prospering, and they're very healthy, and seem like they don't have any problems. And so many Christians, we struggle. So like the psalmist, are we to question, did we in vain did our best to live as a righteous person? Are we doing our best to live as the word says, but did we do that in vain? Because what really goes on out there, non-Christians, they prosper way more than us. So how about you? You dare not confront God face to face, but don't you have many questions in your hearts, many complaints in your hearts as you see what goes on in the world? It seems what really happens in this world is the opposite of what God has said in Psalm 1. It seems that the wicked prospers and the righteous perish. Well, through our psalm today, David gives us the answer. Verses 1 and 7 through 9. Do not fret, meaning do not be upset because of evildoers. Be not envious toward wrongdoers. Verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil doing. For evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. Proverbs 23, verse 19, do not fret because of evildoers or be envious of the wicked. Why? Why we should not be upset when we see that? Bible's answer is look at their future. Look at their end. Verses 2 and 10. For they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Yet a little while and the wicked man will be no more. And you will look carefully for his place and he will not be there. Thus verse 7 again. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, wicked way. Because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Now, Psalm is written in Old Testament language. So you need to be very careful that those earthly things ultimately points to heavenly things. Unless you look at the end, like how we wait for Jesus' return, we will get upset. But when you look at the end, you know what's going to happen to non-believers. There are many evil people who are prospering out there. But you understand their end. And you realize how quickly they will fall. Verses 3 through 6, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desire of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him and He will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. God says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. James chapter 1 verse 20, for the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Romans chapter 12 verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Verse 9, ultimately, for evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. And obviously this land is pointing to the eternal land, the heavenly land. This reality becomes so clear when we come to the New Testament. To the righteous, the eternal kingdom of God will be given. In terms of our Psalm, Psalm 37, the blessing is inheriting the land. Again, this is the Old Testament language. The land here points to the ultimate land, heaven. Verses 3, 9, 11, 22, 29, and 34. Trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. For evil doers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. But the humble will inherit the land and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. For those blessed by Him will inherit the land, but those cursed by Him will be cut off. The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. Wait for the Lord and keep His way, and He will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. Those who trust in the Lord and do good, those who wait for the Lord, the humble, those blessed by the Lord, the righteous, those who wait for the Lord and keep His way, they will inherit the land. But the opposite is true for the wicked. Verses 22b, 28b, verse 38, but those cursed by him will be cut off. But the descendants of the wicked will be cut off. But the transgressors will be altogether destroyed. The prosperity of the wicked will be cut off. The wicked will be cut off. And it is also pointing to their ultimate final destiny. Verses 12 through 15 speaks of the wicked. The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees his day coming. The wicked have drawn the sword and bent their bow to cast down the afflicted and the needy, to slay those who are upright in conduct. Their sword will enter their own heart, and their bows will be broken. And in verses 16 through 22, the righteous and the wicked are contrasted. I'm just going to read these verses because we just don't have time to really go into detail. Better is the little of the righteous than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord sustains the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their inheritance will be forever. They will not be ashamed in the time of evil, and in the days of famine they will have abundance. But the wicked will perish, and the enemies of the Lord will be like the glory of the pasture. They vanish like smoke. They vanish away. The wicked borrows and does not pay back, but the righteous is gracious and gives. For those blessed by him will inherit the land, but those cursed by him will be cut off. Verse 16 says, better is the little of the righteous than the abundance of the many wicked. Proverbs 15 verse 16 says, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and turmoil with it. Proverbs 16:8, better is a little with righteous than great income with injustice. Proverbs 28 verse 6, better is the poor who walks in his integrity than he who is crooked, though he be rich. The world will laugh at these kind of statements. They will even tell you, I'd rather be wicked and be rich in this world. Because they don't understand their ultimate end. What's going to happen to them forever? Verses 17 through 22, for the arms of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord sustains the righteous. The Lord knows the day of the blameless, and their inheritance will be forever. They will not be ashamed in the time of evil, and in the days of famine they will have abundance. But the wicked will perish, and the enemies of the Lord will be like the glory of the pasture. They vanish like smoke. They vanish away. The wicked borrows and does not pay back, but the righteous is gracious and gives. For those blessed by him will inherit the land, but those cursed by him will be cut off. We must remember, I say this over and over again, that what we have in these verses are the Old Testament language. The meaning of these verses become much clearer when we come to the New Testament. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Matthew chapter 4 verse 4 says, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Philippians chapter 4 verse 12, I know how to get along with humble means. And I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstances, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. Really doesn't matter how much we have or how much we don't have, because we learn to be satisfied in Christ. And our satisfaction doesn't depend on worldly things. And that's what you need to show, that your satisfaction, your joy, does not depend on worldly things. You're not happy just because worldly things, or that you are sad because you don't have worldly things, but you're always happy because you have Jesus Christ. This is how we live. Psalm 73 verse 26, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Even in the Old Testament, even though it is Old Testament, the truth shines sometimes clearly. I mean, in the Old Testament, truth always shines, but sometimes it is clear as the New Testament. Like Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 17 through 19. Though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the field produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in stalls, yet I will exult in the Lord, I will rejoice in God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He has made my feet like hinds' feet, and makes me walk on the high, my high places. Brothers and sisters, we live by faith now, not by sight. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So our focus is on heaven, not world, not the things of the world. Verse 23 and 24, the steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. When he falls, he will not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. Our lives in this world will experience both worldly success and failure, but no matter what happens, God holds our hands. Verses 25 and 26, I have been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread. Again, Old Testament language, but you understand what it ultimately says. All day long he is gracious and lends, and his descendants are a blessing. Yeah, one day, I really wait for that day when she sings, she praises with that voice. All day long, did I read that? All day long he is gracious and lends, and his descendants are a blessing. You see, this is our heavenly reality, but in the Old Testament, it was typologically expressed in an earthly way. We see the similar things in Proverbs 10, verse 3, the Lord will not allow the righteous to hunger, but he will reject the cravings of the wicked. And obviously you say, well, what I see is the opposite. These righteous who are hungry out there, and the wicked, they are rich. Well, you got to understand, this is, again, it's a typological. Because back then in the Old Testament, the heavenly reality was expressed in earthly things. But you understand the ultimate meaning of these verses. Yeah, we will never go hungry in heaven. But wicked will be always thirsty and hungry in hell forever. That's what he's talking about, but it is written in terms of this world, earthly. So people, they misunderstand things. That's why they could not accept Jesus Christ, because they understood everything in an earthly way. And here's Jesus who comes and says completely opposite. They didn't understand what God was saying to them in the Old Testament time. Verses 27 through 34 and 37. Depart from evil and do good, so you will abide forever. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his godly ones. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked will be cut off. The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The law of his God is in his heart. His steps do not slip. The wicked spies upon the righteous and seeks to kill him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand or let him be condemned when he is judged. Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you and inherit the land, you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. Mark the blameless man and behold the upright, for the man of peace have a prosperity. I'm just reading to you because I believe that at least these verses should be spoken at least one time, because we are looking at this psalm. But we don't have time to go into detail of each verse. Verses 35 and 36, I have seen a wicked, a violent man spreading himself like a luxuriant tree in his native soil. Then he passed away, and lo, he was no more. I sought for him, but he could not be found. And that's exactly what would happen to non-believers. Even if we will look for them in heaven, they cannot be found, because they're forever destroyed. And you have to understand these verses in terms of heavenly reality. The wicked, they may seem very successful in this world, and they are successful in this world, but ultimately they will be completely destroyed, completely perished. That's their end. And verse 38, but transgressors will be altogether destroyed. The prosperity of the wicked will be cut off. And the psalm ends with verses 39 and 40. We come to the very end of the psalm. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in a time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. Now then, what is this psalm really about? Our Lord Jesus Christ sums up this psalm, Psalm 37, in one verse. Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. Blessed are the gentle, or better translation, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You remember the psalm keeps saying that righteous will inherit the land? Jesus says that they shall inherit the earth. Whom? The meek. So, the righteous in our psalm is what Jesus says, meek. Who is a meek person? Well, he is humble before God, and he depends on God and God alone. He entrusts himself to God's will, whatever that will be. He trusts God and he hopes only in God. He delights himself in God and he commits his way to God and he rests in God. There is no complaints, for he knows that what he truly deserves is the eternal judgment of God. So whatever that happens in his life, he understands that that is better than what he truly deserves. That's why he's meek. That he could accept that situation, even though it's bad, Because he is meek, he understands that what he truly deserves is worse than what he is actually experiencing. So there's no complaint. And he patiently waits for God. He trusts God, his word. No matter what happens, he trusts God and depends on God. Meek person is not a weak person. He is not a coward. He trusts God. And he's not timid. He lives by faith. Because meekness comes from faith. Because meekness is a fruit of the Spirit, Bible tells us. Thus, non-Christians cannot be meek. They just cannot, because it is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So, don't misunderstand that there's many non-Christians who is nice. And you will say, oh, how is that person? They go, oh, he's nice. That's not what we're talking about. Some dog, they're born gentle, born nice. That's not what meekness is. Meekness comes from faith. You believe that God is in control. That God loves you. So whatever that happens to you is God's will. And His will is always good for you. So even though bad things might happen, and bad in a worldly definition, you realize actually it's good. Because God pours His grace upon us. And with that grace, you will realize how precious that suffering that you are going through. Because you understand that God's will for you is to be more like Christ. And all that suffering has to be there because for you to be like Christ, you have to experience suffering. More the better. And he's okay. Because he knows what he truly deserves. He truly deserves the eternal punishment of hell. So whatever might be happening in his life, he understands it's a million times better than what he truly deserves. So why there complain if that's what you believe? And do you believe it? Or you just complain and you are so upset, acting like you deserve better than that? Do you deserve better? Or when judged by your sins that you commit every single day, that whatever bad things might happen in your life is far better than what you deserve. That's why there's no complaint. There's no anger. You are actually thankful. This is meekness. And I really believe this is an important topic for us to truly understand. That's why I might, even if I have to repeat everything I said today, I might do it one more time. Just on meekness. Not, I don't have to deal with all these some other verses, but just on that meekness. It's the fruit of Spirit. So even among all these crazy things that happen in the world, that you are at peace. Because you're meek. You don't fret. Non-Christian cannot be meek because however they might be, it is not coming from their faith in God. It must come from faith. It's not any good just being nice. But that niceness has to come from faith. Whatever we do, it has to come from faith. Otherwise, it's sin. This true meekness is evident in his relationship with others. A meek person has already admitted before God that he is a sinner who deserves the eternal judgment of hell. Thus, even when the other person says bad things about him, he accepts. Actually, he knows that he is worse than whatever that other person might say about him. He understands he's worse. You could call me all kinds of names. I'm worse than that. God knows I'm worse than that. So the meek person, there's no anger. Why you get angry when somebody says bad things about you? Because you feel you're better than that. But if you understand you're worse than that, then why anger? You will say to that person, thank you for actually saying good things about me, even though it's bad things, because it's better than how actually I am. Oh, come on. You know how filthy sinners we are? All the filth that is just fill our hearts and our minds all day long. You could act like you're righteous out there. We know how sinful our hearts are. So whatever name that I could call you, do you feel you're better than that? Or you feel you're worse than that? The meek person understands who he is and how he is. This is how we live as a Christian. I know who I am. And I know who I am in Christ. So really doesn't matter what people say. This is what this psalm is about. God says, don't get upset because you believe in God. And, you know, I have to admit to you that when it comes to these kind of things, I'm probably the worst than every one of you. But I'm not here to preach my life. I'm here to preach the truth. Oh boy, if you tell me to preach my life, you know, I could only say if I actually do it myself, then my sermons will be 2 seconds. But I'm here always to preach the truth, what God says to us. Thus, Jesus Christ is the only one who is truly meek. No one else. He trusted his Father without any complaint. Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30, come to me, Jesus says, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, how can God says his yoke is easy and his burden is light? But if you are meek, you will understand. And if you love him, You know, I always give this example. Let's say you're a mother of a child. Now, when child is healthy, you would never even consider to work three jobs. Because that's just too much. There's no time to do anything else, just three jobs every day. But when your child is sick and he needs an operation or he will die, as a mother, I know you will work three jobs to make that money so that your child will have operation. You will do that, the thing that you will not do ordinarily. And what makes you do that is your love for that child. When you love Christ, you will do it. You will even consider it easy and light. It's when you don't love Him. Oh, then all kinds of complaints come out. This is just how it is. You cannot pretend. You cannot lie about these things. It's just how it is. It comes out. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 through 8, who, Jesus, although He existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. See, Jesus is a truly meek person. That He would obey His Father, even if it means to die. But He trusted God. He trusted God who could raise Him from the dead. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19 and verse 21 through 23. For this finds favor, if for the sake of conscience toward God, a person bears up under sorrow when suffering unjustly. And we're not talking about just suffering, but suffering unjustly. But if for the sake of conscience toward God, if a person bears up that suffering unjustly, it finds favor from God. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in His steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in His mouth, and while being reviled, He did not revile in return. While suffering, He uttered no threats, but kept entrusting Himself to Him, to Father, who judges righteously. This is meekness. That your trusting in God is such that no matter what happens in your life, you are at peace. Because you trust God. That God will take care of you. God calls you and me to live this life. And through our psalm, David is telling us to just that, do that. In Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, you have become the meek. Jesus' meek life is now our life. And the land in our psalm is no longer the earthly land. Now in the New Testament, the earthly land, even the non-Christians possess. Actually, non-Christians possess more if we're just talking about earthly land, then our psalm is utterly wrong. But ultimately, non-Christian will be completely destroyed together with their land, earthly land. But for us, Revelation 21 verse 1, then I saw a new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away. The Old Testament has passed away. In the Old Testament, how did the Israelites possess the land? Through war. But now the meek will inherit the earth, the new earth. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 8 through 10 describes the life that the meek lives in this world. By glory and dishonor. And you wonder, how can glory and dishonor be both present in a person? But this is how we live. By evil report and good report. Yes, you will hear evil report from some people that you don't even know. But they never met you, and yet they say bad things about you. Don't fret. It's okay. Regarded as deceivers, and yet true. As unknown, yet well known. That's how we are. These two things are true of us at the same time. We are truly unknown, and yet we are well known by God. As dying, yet behold, we live. Actually, we live forever. As punished, yet not put to death. No matter how much you suffer, you will not die forever. Oh, even if they kill you here, you will not die forever. But for non-Christians, even if they live, they die forever. As sorrowful, and yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, yet possessing all things. We understand the truth, so we are meek. Oh yeah, I might not have much in this world, but I am meek. I understand I have all things in Christ. So no complaint. No anger. Because we trust God. Yes. You know, I'm deciding, you know, never mind. Because I was going to tell you my story, but I should not do that during sermon. I'll tell you in some other time. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are able to trust you, that you are trustable and dependable, that everything that you have said is true, and you will fulfill them. Oh Father, we thank you that you have made us as a meek people who understands, who knows the truth, how God, you are in complete control, that everything happens according to your will, that all things work together for our own good, that you love us, and what you're doing in our lives is making us more like your Son, Jesus Christ, every single moment. So Father, Let us not be angry when we see the success of the wicked. When they're doing the wrong things and they go against the law of you, and yet they prosper, they make so much money cheating, deceiving. Let us not be angry, for we know their end. And that is why we should pray for them, that they will turn away from wicked ways and come to Jesus Christ. So let us be meek, or let us witness the meekness that you have already created in us. Let's pray for our enemies rather than being upset. Always trusting you, God. We love you. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.